Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to leave a rating or a review if you're listening to us on a podcast app. Also, if you're on the YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it. And then I read on Twitter that now you have to go in and like figure out how to get all your notifications.
Oh, yeah, they changed all that.
I think they changed it again. I feel like it was just a couple months ago we were talking about them changing it
now
again.
There's like highlights and something
right?
else.
Just look, man, if you hit subscribe, it probably means that person is interested in finding out when new stuff is happening.
Yeah, so just give it to them.
One button, and then your email, whatever email you're signed up for, how about your, it just goes there.
Notifications are sent, new content is uploaded, people get to enjoy it. And then it doesn't seem like it should be this difficult, does it?
And then, if you want to filter out certain things, like, oh, just give me once a week, give me the best stuff, the most liked stuff, then you can go in and start dicking with that.
Don't make that the default.
Right? What? It's not that difficult. Anyway,
you do it too slow. You gotta have some passion. For this
no, thing. I know. I actually only do it so that you can do it because it's hilarious. Can you do something for me real quick? Can you say, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say, where are we?
Where are we?
Yeah.
No, that's not what it was. What is this?
What is this place?
It's Atlantis. In joke, no one else is gonna get.
It's Atlantis. Sorry. Anyways, we're also on Patreon. That'll pick me up. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have 52 fantastic friendos watching right now. You can be one of those friendos because we have our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday recap podcasts up as live streams first.
Yep.
So you guys can check them out early before anybody else. You can interact with us. We'll often need, sometimes I like that they're fact checkers for us.
Yes.
I'm like, wait, what was that wrestler who body slammed Andre the Giant and then gave him a big leg drop? Who was that again? The guy who was like champion for a long time with the blonde hair and then said some really bad things.
Oh, it was Sid.
Oh, that's right. It was Sid. Oh, no. Let's see here. John Roberts says that it's Hulk Hogan. Oh. My bad. Anyways, that's what chat's good for.
Alexi says, I love how despite Larson's jar being bad last week, he's still drinking from it this week. Here's the thing. I have multiple jars. I don't have one mason jar.
Right.
I have a lot of them.
Why does this one smell like cinnamon as well,
cloves,
then?
I don't know. No, it's probably the same one, or it could just be the lid.
Somebody's messing with you, man. Is the lid extra potent?
Yeah, it smells really strong like cloves.
Oh man.
Yeah, it must be the lid. Because, you know, they got this gasket, this ring here to keep the seal tight.
Sure.
And maybe it's porous, and so scent, you know, absorbs into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that could be. I don't know, man. We got to find a scientist to help us out with that. Anyways, good stuff. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Neither of us are wearing shirts from that particular thing. Here's, I think this graphic might.
I got my Seth Rollins shirt on
today. That's a great shirt.
It is.
Look at that little graphic up there. I can't control, like, bringing it down. Can I expand? Computer, expand. Can't work. Anyways. Because I've been dicking around with the setting. I dick around too much on OBS.
You do dick around things a lot.
I'm trying to create the perfect podcast here at Going In Raw, Larson. And one day I'll achieve perfection.
You got a ways to go.
One day I'll achieve perfection.
Perfection is not possible.
Au contraire, my friend. I had a Burger King breakfast croissant which one time.
All right, you need to stop. You
that
need
was
to,
the
you need to go down this
the epitome
line of talk anymore.
The epitome.
Once you bring up the words perfection and Burger King in the same sentence, I know you're talking BS.
Atlantis.
Don't overdo it, man.
I'm gonna kill that joke. It was great, though.
No, don't kill it.
Okay. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about Raw.
That's what we're here for. It was a fun show.
No, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Enjoyable. They actually, whether it was circumstance or plans, took some detours, offered us kind of fresh starts on characters, specifically Seth Rollins.
Yeah, man.
All his tag team partners are getting hurt. So now we get singles competitor Seth Rollins back, and he's got a fire in his belly.
And on
he
his
wants
pants.
To be top guy.
Well, so we talked about this yesterday during our Raw preview.
Yeah, what is Seth Rollins going to do?
What is he going to do? And then we started, what did we say? We said something like him versus Elias.
Yeah,
him versus Finn, maybe, yeah. Which, look at the end of Raw. They're certainly, I mean, they're not teasing that, but, you know, it was a way to get them both in the chamber, which is mm-hmm. awesome. I love it. I'm very on board this Seth Rollins, the singles guy.
Are they going to add an extra pod to the chamber? They can start the match with three people.
I would think the latter. I would think they're going to start it with three people.
Like, why was Miz so bent out of shape about being in the match number one? Because it's not like there's one guy in there taking bumps by himself for 3 minutes like until the second guy come in.
Half the field now is going to be in there with you to start off.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't seem to be an issue.
Well, you know, you always want to be last.
No, I get that.
The further back you are,
guess who else is in the ring with the number one, number two?
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't really matter.
Wait, that's a really good point. What did John Cena, what was the stipulations of that match that they had?
It's just if whoever lost would be the first person in the chamber.
Okay, but then the other guy just gets the random selection.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Because I was like, if Cena said, whoever loses gets to be number one, and the other guy gets to be number two.
It's like, okay,
that's just two number ones.
Yeah, no. That's why when he was upset about it, I was like, it really doesn't matter that much because you're going to be in there with somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's going to be in that match, in theory, as long as you are, potentially. Yeah,
but then you're just one out of two guys. How many are going to be in it now? Six?
Seven.
Seven, I was right, seven.
I'm not saying it's an advantageous position to have, but if you pulled number two, it's not any better.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. Totally. And then, of course, we had the amazing Braun Strowman, who is...
Oh, man, he can do no wrong. He took a segment that in other people's hands might have been corny. They made it spectacular.
Well, because it's Braun.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't really do corn. This is.
He managed to sing and still sound intimidating.
No, he didn't manage to sing.
Sorry, he actually has a really good voice.
He has a really good voice.
He dropped his kayfabe voice after he sang for a bit, though, too.
No, he did. It was awesome. And I guarantee you that might have been a bit of him just not getting back into character.
Oh, I think it was just him existing and having fun in the moment.
In the moment, but that's a voice we're going to hear a lot of because I will guarantee, just like Cena had his whole rap thing and then eventually he just turned into what we know of as John Cena right now, Braun is going to, and last night was the biggest piece of this that we've seen so far. But last week we saw it also kind of, when he sort of took what we feel was more of the house show approach to the end of that match. Played up to that crowd. He smiled a little bit. And then this week, they had him on a double bass.
Yeah.
And singing. And then a little bit out of his kayfabe voice.
Yeah.
And these are the things that you do to start experimenting with, is this guy our face of the company? Because it damn sure feels like he's going to be. Oh, my God. The crowd was eating it up. As long as they keep that monster's edge to him and then have him demonstrate a bit more personality week after week.
Yeah.
That dude, that's the recipe for like a Stone Cold type thing.
He can still be a face, but he just has to keep destroying things.
Right, exactly.
As long as they keep the destruction in place, he's fine.
Yeah. And nobody can boss him around. He destroys everything, but everybody loves him.
He doles out power slams just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of joy with him. That's kind of the thing. I'm not going to go to the Roman thing, but like, there's not a lot of joy with Roman Reigns. You know what I mean?
Even when he has to smile, it seems like it's uncomfortable for him.
Right. Exactly. And he has his own place where he exists in that I think can still be successful. But Braun Strowman is just getting there so organically and so perfectly every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And he kills every opportunity he has. And
both he and Elias. Every opportunity they hit home runs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time.
It's absolutely insane. So anyways, I did this on the Patreon last night for all the patrons from a dollar and up. I put out a poll. I'm going to start doing this. A poll.
Good idea.
I gave people three options to see where they were on last night's Raw. See if they're on the same page with us. I said, tonight's Raw was A, real. B, a bowl of crap. Or C, somewhere in the middle. And zero people voted for a bowl of crap.
Well, good.
81 voted for and then 85 people, somewhat more, voted for somewhere in the middle.
Between.
Yeah. So a good show last night, according to us and our friendos out there in the Patreon universe.
Yeah, let's start with the top, though. John Cena, he was advertised to start the show, and so he did.
Yep.
Came out, dropped a promo, talking about how he doesn't have a clear path to Mania if he doesn't win Elimination Chamber. Come on, John.
The lack of credibility he suffers
from saying that
is ridiculous.
We know better. You know better. You know that we know better.
Yeah, I mean, give me...
You're John Cena. If you say, I want a spot at Mania, you get it.
Not just that. You're John Cena. You say, if I want to be in the main event, you're going to get that.
Yes.
The only thing you might not get in is against Brock Lesnar because Vince is intent on doing the Roman Reigns thing. But otherwise, you could pretty much say what you want to do at WrestleMania.
Name your terms, John, and we know that.
Exactly.
So to try to fool us.
But you have to kind of appreciate that he's trying to say that there's stakes involved with him.
No, I don't appreciate it. I mean, like, if he says the only way I'm going to get a title shot at Mania, cool. But to go on and say my road to WrestleMania might end if I don't win Elimination Chamber, that's hogwash.
That is hogwash.
That's absolute BS, that's John.
Bull hockey.
We know better, John. Anyways, he says all this stuff.
Yeah.
Miz comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually Cena challenges Miz to a match with the loser being the first entrant to the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And at first Miz says, nah, I'm good.
He says, why would I take that risk?
And then Miztourage attacks Cena.
Mm-hmm. Are they just picking up on Miz's nonverbal cues now?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Because, like, why? Like, if Miz didn't want that to happen, would he be like, whoa, hold on a second?
No.
You guys jumped the gun.
I know.
They're simpatico, man.
Very much so.
On the same page.
Like, literally, Miz finished the sentence and then they attack Cena.
Right?
And now the Cena's laid out following, like, a double team neck breaker type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Miz says, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle comes out.
He says, get a ref down here now so we can do this. But then Kurt Angle comes down.
And he's. Takes a long-winded approach to saying this match is happening.
Right, I know. What the heck? I mean, you could say, hey, you know what? He's trying to even the playing field a bit for Cena.
Give him some time to recuperate.
Yeah, exactly. But
nonetheless, it seemed superfluous.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that when the crowd chants you suck to Kurt Angle, they're kind of believing it now. I love Kurt Angle. I do, but he's written so poorly as GM.
I know.
He's like the most inept GM there is, man. It's not good.
So we get, I think, a commercial break. We come back. Miz goes for the pin immediately. Smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Cena, now that he had enough time to recover, kicks out at 2.
Of course he does.
Decent match. I give this match a ton of time.
This was a really good match.
It was.
There was a bunch of really good matches on this. There was actually a bunch of really good matches on the show.
All in all, it was a really good show.
Yeah.
Of course, Miz kicked out of an AA. Cena kicked out of a skull-crushing finale.
Hey, that's kind of not an of course with Miz these days.
Yeah.
Now it is, and that's awesome. That's really, really cool. Because it's the thing where, well, we're on the road to WrestleMania. If Cena wants to beat the big-time opponents, Finn Balor.
He has to get the second rope to put him away.
It's got
to
be a second rope, AA.
Which is what he did.
Yeah. AA, AA.
Miz is on the top rope, seemingly go for like some sort of super skull-crushing finale.
Because, he hit that, and Cena kicked out of that. So then he have to take it up.
The next level, literally.
Gravity.
Cena reverses that into a top rope AA. He wins. Miz is in the Elimination Chamber match first, along with whoever's number two.
Numero uno is Miz. They'll probably put him in there with Braun first, because that's a great story right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, it'd be funny if it was Cena. Cena came in.
Yeah,
too.
I know, right? It was all for naught, Cena.
All for nothing, John.
All for nothing, John. Next up, we got a Woken Matt Hardy promo where he talked about he was thinking of redubbing the Elimination Chamber.
The Deletion Chamber.
So that was cute. I still look, man. Just call me when they're doing the pre-film stuff.
Exactly.
Please. Next,
the club promo where they were working the nerd-o-meter into their promo.
Exactly.
A bunch of the words showing up on screen.
The opposite of what they should be doing in the club. You know what they need to be doing? Gallows put that freaking makeup he used to, the face paint he used to wear.
Gino's Carl Anderson on his vest on the back had a Balor Club logo on it.
Oh,
on his vest.
Okay.
But it was, you couldn't really see it unless you were really paying attention.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, they are Balor Club.
I know. They should be rebranded as such, too.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that's a good thing and
you
want them head to toe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get rid of the club logo, all Balor Club.
Yeah. Okay. I'm down with that.
They can keep their own theme when they come out as a tag team, but if they come out with Balor, they should all come out to Balor's theme.
I agree with that as well.
Some sense of unity between everybody. And right now, it's kind of lacking.
I like cohesive factions.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, all thematic.
I mean, if they're not cohesive, they seem immediately splintered.
And drop. I mean, I don't know how I feel about this nerds thing. I think I want them to drop it. I think I just hate the nerdometer in general.
Yeah.
But if they want to call people nerds, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's a long-standing tradition of bullies calling people nerds. I'm fine with that. Let's see here. Next up, we had a really good match. Club versus Revival.
Yeah.
And hey-o, Revival confirmed, not buried. They got a win.
Yeah, they were never buried.
With the Shatter Machine.
Yeah, before the match, Club's walking down the ring. Revival attack. Dish out a chop block to Luke Gallows, injuring his knee. Towards the finish, we saw another one.
Mm-hmm.
Another chop block to Gallows' knee. Mm-hmm. He eventually... No, Anderson ate the Shatter Machine. got pinned by Scott Dawson.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, fun match.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Next up we had, oh, Kurt Angle came down and he announced several things. Number one, Ronda Rousey will be signing her WWE contract, her kayfabe contract at Elimination Chamber, like the fakey one.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the real one. I mean, Triple H said in the conference call that the deal wasn't exactly done yet.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope her lawyers are there. Like, if it's just Ronda, that's a bad idea.
I'm sure it's all agreed to before, kayfabe or otherwise.
Everything, oh, okay.
On that page will be agreed to before.
All right.
But yeah, she showed up at Elimination Chamber to put ink to paper to sign her deal.
Yep. Crowd gave some booze on
that.
A
little bit.
A little bit of booze. I hope they don't. Man, I don't know how they're going to do this.
I feel like there's all the more reason to do a mixed tag match for her first match.
Oh, there's a million and one reasons why that needs to happen and not a singles match. I can't believe they put her in a singles match at Mania to kick off her career. That would be a terrible idea. Let's see here.
He also announced that Jason Jordan was out for WrestleMania due to his neck injury, and that received some cheers from the crowd, which...
A lot of cheers.
Kurt, ooh, he was not happy about that.
Well, okay, here's the thing. It really doesn't help his case. So, like, this is a legit injury. He's not going to make it for Mania, right? And so, yeah, Kurt, by all means, should say, hey, everybody, you know, this is, you shouldn't cheer this.
Yes.
But then he says, he's my son. Everybody knows that's just a story.
Yeah.
Whenever you try to mix story and real life, especially when it comes, it's just a bad idea. Like, you want to chastise the crowd, you want to get on them for cheering a guy being injured? Absolutely. Nobody should be cheering that. But then you say, come on, but one of his selling points for people having sympathy is, he's my son. No, he's not, man. He's not. Like, we know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. It was a really stupid storyline that has had brief moments of success, but by and large been an abject failure. It's been, I mean, there was no reason to do it.
No, and then I think he sputtered out the gate.
It's given, it's given some stank to the Jason Jordan character,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Once they kind of found who the Jason Jordan character was, I think it worked really well. But as soon as that reveal was made, and for the two or so months that followed,
yeah,
it felt completely flat. And were just,
and
like,
people still, but here's the thing, like,
found out how to do it properly.
But the thing is, they've just used it as a way to get Jason Jordan over in a way that I think eventually they wanted him to get over, and it's worked for us too. But it's been completely unnecessary to him getting, like, they could have done a million different things
they've used the nepotism aspect of things, like Jason Jordan's getting handed opportunity because Kurt Angle's son, whereas other wrestlers aren't. They use that in the storyline.
Yeah, so. I know, and they have, and that's why I said there's been flashes of success, but by and large, people just aren't really into it. And on top of that, like, the fact is, they've gotten the response that they've wanted from it by having the crowd boo him, so of course the crowd's gonna boo that he's injured.
Yeah.
But then when Kurt says, he's my son, it's just, it's, yeah, dude, we don't want to hear that stuff.
Well, it didn't bother me.
No, I'm just saying, like, it loses credibility for Kurt. What does he expect? People say, oh, yeah, you're right, he's your son, I'm going to stop booing now. Like, what is the purpose of saying, he's my son, though? It was to try to, like, get the crowd to stop booing a guy getting injured.
Well, I think
that's not going to help
things. Most people would realize that if you go out, the crowd does something, for example, in this case, boo, and you tell them not to boo, they're just going to boo more. You're not going to stop the crowd from booing by asking him not to boo.
I agree completely. But saying he's my son is not going to make things any better.
No, I'm not saying it is. Maybe him. Yeah. I think him saying that is going to... Maybe he was told, or the writers know, that's going to make the matters worse.
Oh, no. There's not a chance that they were going to... They were saying, hey, we want them to keep on booing the crap out of anyone who's injured. I don't know about that. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But I don't. That would be really weird if they were like, yeah, let's pile on him.
Because if you really pile on and get the crowd booing, then when Seth comes out, they're ready to pop.
Yeah.
Especially when he comes to the ring and says, I'm done being tag team Seth. I want to be single competitor Seth. That's what everybody wants from Seth Rollins. He comes out and drops a great promo full of passion and
really
fire
good.
And intensity.
Yeah.
Saying that he wants to be Monday Night Rollins again. He wants to be Monday Night Raw. So people want to hear, and the crowd was super excited for it.
Yeah.
So maybe you build up the crowd to expect one thing. This, you know, getting upset, booing all, Kurt Angle.
You know those writers
only to
aren't
get
that
excited.
Man, you know the writers are not that savvy. They cannot play the crowd.
Raw.
Like...
Raw's been pretty good lately.
Raw has been good. You're right.
So that means that's
he's my son.
That's how I'm interpreting that whole segment.
All right.
You get the crowd booing, a bunch of heat. Mm-hmm. Seth comes out. The crowd wants to cheer for something because they've been booing for so long.
Yeah.
Seth comes out, tells people exactly what they want to hear. Solo Seth. Crowd pops. He wants in on the match tonight. Kurt leaves it up to people. Massive cheers for Seth.
Yeah, big cheers.
At the end, it all works.
All right. Well, I like that your jar is half full of cinnamon flavored water.
Well, this smells like it. It doesn't really
oh, that's
taste
good.
Like it.
Oh, man.
It's more cloves today.
He said, he's my son. Anyways, yeah, that's great. So everything you just said happened.
Yeah.
Seth in on the phrase. He said, why don't we turn that fatal four-way into a fatal five-way?
And then, you know, Kurt's like, I can't just give you the spot in Elimination Chamber. We already have this fatal four-way. And Seth, you know, being the face, still says, I don't want it handed to me. I want to earn it.
Yeah.
So put me in the match, and then I'll win that, go in Elimination Chamber, win that, face Brock at Mania, win that.
I know. Kurt, there should have been no hesitation there. You're the GM. You'd put him in the match. He's Seth freaking Rollins.
I know.
Man. He needs to be in the singles. I'm not happy that Jason Jordan's injured. Hey, let me ask you something. Hmm. When Jason Jordan comes back, heel or face?
Oh, heel.
Yeah.
He's still going to get heat.
Yeah. I don't think that crowd's going to – I think they're going to crap on him still.
And they got to play it up.
Yeah. It's not like
they
got to
run with it.
It's not like he was finishing a match with a quad tear.
No.
Anyways. Next up, we had a Bray Wyatt promo. Did you pay attention to any of this?
No.
Neither did I. Nothing to pay attention to.
He was just talking about all the competitors in the match tonight, and he was kind of complaining that Seth Rollins was in it, and that was the extent of it, I believe.
Yeah.
I just zoned him out now.
Yeah, dude.
Especially after the main event, and he gets pinned by two people.
It's not good.
They have no designs for him whatsoever.
They have none. Although, if we get some pre-film stuff, I'll be totally happy. I'll be fine.
I'll be entertained.
Yeah, I'll be entertained.
But my expectations for Bray are so low right now in terms of him doing anything of consequence.
I know, man. I'm telling you. They need to give him Jordans and a snapback.
Yep.
Next up, Sasha Banks versus Bayley. Fantastic match.
Really
yeah, this is
stuff.
Really fun, man. This is really cool. Bayley went over.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of figured this would be the case.
Yeah.
Bayley really needed. And I know they're in her hometown, right?
Yeah, San Jose.
Yeah. So usually, you know, you get a loss, but I really feel like Bayley's actually getting some really decent momentum.
Yes.
These days. And Sasha, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Even in defeat, Sasha looked great.
Oh, even in defeat, she looked great.
And if this is the catalyst for a heel turn.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
Well, we saw after the match, Bayley hits a second rope Bayley to belly, pins Sasha. Bayley celebrates a bit. Sasha gets up. They're having like a face-to-face moment. You don't know if they're going to... You know, hug it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna come to blows. We don't know because interrupted by Nia Jax. She storms the ring. Bayley pushes Sasha out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Takes kind of the first shot, even though Nia gets both of them.
Right.
And then Nia proceeds to destroy both of them.
Yeah.
Does a post-match interview, saying, you know, both the Bayley and Sasha almost beat Asuka. And I, Nia Jax, just destroyed both of them.
In seconds.
I'm going to be the one that beats Asuka.
Yeah. No, it was good. I like that she had a smile on her face the whole time, too.
Yeah, I know.
Like, while she was destroying
I feel like Nia's mic work's getting a little bit better.
It is. It's crawling along, but it is. Every week, it's like a little bit mm-hmm. better. A little
mm-hmm.
bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good. She just needs, like, that confidence in her voice, you
know? What she had last night.
And when she's, like, when she doesn't have confidence in her voice, it comes off as a bit more nasally than I think it usually does, or it probably naturally does. But then last night, there was no hint of nasally there. So, it was cool. Good for her.
Anyways, were you going to make a point before I interrupted you?
No.
All right.
No. But I don't know how they're going to pull off this Nia Jax. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Elimination Chamber is going to be interesting.
It's going to be a fun show.
There's going to be there's a lot of stuff. I don't want to jinx it. Is this what?
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
This is lining up to be a killer Mania.
It could be.
Like, as long as the injuries stay pat where they are right now.
Yeah.
My God, this is lining up to be really good. We're going to get a single Seth Rollins. Like, we're lining up to get, like, another Shield match, which would have been whatever, or Ambrose and Rollins anyways.
You've been Ambrose Rollins versus the Bar for the upteenth time.
Right, exactly. Man, I freaking love Seth Rollins as a singles guy.
Yeah, same.
So I was, like, super hype last night.
Yeah, me too.
So we've got whatever's going on there. Finn Balor in his, That was a little bit later, I guess.
No, his iPhone promo.
His iPhone promo. I mean, the dude, he's inching closer and closer to Prince Devitt, you know, like running down people and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is lining up to be a really good WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So
if everything works out how I hope it does, it will be. But if we get stuck with Cena versus Undertaker, that's going to be a bummer.
Yeah, but you know what,
because
man,
if that match happens, there's going to be a trickle-down effect. So, you know, we thought maybe we'll see Finn Cena. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Or if The Rock agrees to do the match with Ronda Rousey, that's going to affect what Braun does and what maybe Kurt does.
Mm-hmm.
So once we see how we know the two main events, the two title matches, what they're going to be. The next two kind of upper mid-card or upper card matches, once those settle into place, then after we'll see how that shakes everything else.
There's so much
down the card.
There's so much good talent right now, in the company. And granted, there's still 2 months left, but you know, the injury bug hasn't really caught on that much. Mm. And I hope that they, you know, keep it that way. Mm-hmm. But man, like the possible combinations that we're looking at, like look at Finn, looking at maybe Seth, maybe Miz, maybe Cena. I mean, all those are great.
Mm-hmm.
The same can be said for, any combination of those guys. If Joe is back by Mania, which mm-hmm. I'm not sure is going to be the case, but that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of good stuff going on. AJ versus Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah, I'm saying,
are you kidding me?
You take the two title matches out of the equation. Just,
hey, you know what? I'll even say this about Roman versus Brock. I want to know what the match is. You know what I mean?
Too. And lately, the last 3 months, Roman's been putting on
on really good matches. And I want to finally see what this grand mm-hmm. experiment payoff is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm kind of over I know he's going to get the title at this point. If anybody else comes away from Elimination Chamber with the number one contendership, it's going to be underwhelming. It needs to be Roman, and then you move on with it.
Oh, it'd be underwhelming. If Braun wins, that'd be a huge shock. I'd be happy. If Seth wins, that'd
he's
be a
probably
huge shock.
The only one that I'd be like, okay. Well, the thing is, we've seen Seth before. We've seen him with the title, and granted, I want to see the title again. But like, that's not a story that. We've been building to Roman Brock for so long.
Somehow do a wonky finish Elimination Chamber and both Seth and Reigns win it. So we go all the way back to WrestleMania 31, have it be a triple threat at Mania.
Because here's the thing. The bottom line is this. Eventually we're going to get Roman versus Brock singles. That's like Vince always comes back around. You know, Vince sometimes like at WrestleMania 31, he's like, he's not ready. Let's throw Seth in there. You know,
mm-hmm.
like he'll just change his mind. He just needs to get this out of his system. And so I am fully on board with this. Right. Roman versus Brock. Let's just get it done with.
In terms of the symmetry of storytelling, it'd be interesting if Seth somehow put himself back in that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. But I think I'm just so set on what, like...
You are set.
We've all decided this is going to happen. So, anyways.
Robert Chacon said Roman got cheered big time last night.
Who got cheered big
Roman.
Time? Roman. That's cool. What did he do last night?
He had a match against Sheamus that wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah, that was a good match.
After Sasha versus Bayley, we had a Seth and Roman Reigns segment backstage. Roman was talking to Seth about getting himself potentially in the Elimination Chamber match, saying that, just like at Royal Rumble, I'll eliminate you, Seth.
That was some cute little back and forth there.
And then the bar step into frame.
God, they're so nerdy in their outfits.
Set up, I guess. I don't know if it was already worked out. Roman between Roman and Sheamus.
Roman braces shamed Cesaro. He says, "What's wrong with your mouth?" Oh yeah, you got hit by the shield. Actually, didn't that all start because of Jeff Hardy? Wasn't that a Jeff Hardy?
No,
never mind.
Sheamus kicked the tooth out of Jeff Hardy.
Oh,
mouth.
That's right.
That payback last year.
Yeah, Cesaro was when he rammed his head onto the turn. Was that against
Seth
the shield?
And Dean, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No Mercy. We were there for that too.
No Mercy. I know it's too many teeth going on, man. Too much teeth.
So
don't like it.
Two spots I can think of. Anyways. Sheamus, Roman, they have a match later on the night. Next, Titus Worldwide interview.
Hey, did you notice Roman was... You're skipping over the greatest details. Seth and Roman, when the bar was talking crap to Seth, and Seth was like about to step up, and Roman was like holding him back, and he was silent talking.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
Like, they were mic'd, but he was like...
Yeah, I know, I noticed that.
What are you, an extra in a freaking background movie scene?
They tell him not to step over anybody's lines, man.
That's good. He's taking an issue. Next up, yeah, Titus Worldwide interview. Again, massive mic problems. Use the boom mic, not just the microphone stick
yeah,
mic. Okay,
yeah.
Because I have no idea what what's her face?
Dana Brooke
was saying, as soon as Apollo Crews moves 1 inch away from the stick mic, He gets lost. Yeah. And he's not that great a promo guy anyways.
He's not the best.
But he needs all the sound in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, he said, she punctuated it by saying, Cruz can't lose. And Apollo was running down everybody saying that Bray can't digest him.
Yeah.
Something about Finn Balor's club or something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to be in it. I don't know about Gian John. I don't know what it was.
Was he so like Matt Hardy can't break me or something like that?
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. The Bray can't digest him. I remember that one.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Because that just, you know, a little weird. Anyways.
I mean, Bray is supposed to be the eater of worlds.
I get that. But anyways, I don't know. It wasn't the strongest of writing in the world.
Oh,
Next up, we had Alexa Bliss and Mickie James backstage, and Mickie James is basically saying, look, man, I know your game. You're a bad guy, and I'm a good guy, and you don't have good intentions. Next up, we had Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose of Absolution versus Mickie James and Alexa Bliss. So weird seeing Paige out there just do nothing.
I know.
In any event, Mandy Rose got the win on Mickie James. After her finishing maneuver.
Yeah, hit her finisher, then Absolution attacks Mickey after the match.
Once again.
And Alexa makes the save.
So I don't know. Are they turning her face?
I don't know. I feel like Alexa's just trying to forge some sort of alliance to benefit her in Elimination Chamber when she defends the title.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. Next up, Elias.
Oh, man.
They give him just the prime spots these days.
They really do.
He's the best. He's got that crowd in the palm of his hand, and it's amazing. And he sang the Elimination Chamber blues this time. But then it was interrupted by, who was on the mic, JoJo?
Yeah.
Yeah, saying, ladies and gentlemen, Braun
Strowman. There's a long dramatic pause. Yeah, yeah. And Elias is looking at her like, what the heck's going on? That's my intro.
Mm-hmm.
And then JoJo says, Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
He walks out on stage.
He's got a little stool and a microphone.
Mic, says something and grabs his double bass.
Mm-hmm.
Picks it up as if it's nothing.
Yeah, starts to strum it and it breaks.
Yeah.
He shrugs it off and then in the most immaculate sort of bluegrass folk song voice, just with gravel and weight and melody.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. He sang a song to Elias.
About
getting these hands. It's honestly like probably my favorite Raw segment of the early in this year.
It was fantastic. So he walks down to the ring with double bass.
Mm-hmm.
They brawl. Elias tries to hit him with guitar, misses. He eats a power slam. Elias rolls out of the ring and starts crawling up the ramp.
Yeah.
Braun gets an idea, grabs his bass, walks up the ramp, and then destroys the bass over Elias.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was absolutely great. Everybody loved it.
And I'm sure that bass was gimmicked because those things are heavy.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, Braun was swinging that thing around like it was a toothpick.
Well, he's a strongman guy.
He is a strongman.
So I don't know. And the funny thing is, like,
He seemed like he was having an absolute blast.
Yeah, besides that. Like, he wasn't wielding the double bass with, like, the most perfect of ease. So I wonder if it wasn't gimmicked and it was around 200 pounds.
Well, that would have destroyed Elias.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
That's the other aspect of it. You hit someone with a 200-pound
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
They're going to be
hurt. Because that's going to be sturdy wood right
there. Yes.
Okay, I see your point.
Yeah, you're right.
Totally gimmicked. Still, it was amazing.
It was fantastic.
They should have filled it with powder. Next up, we had
Finn Balor's iPhone promo.
And he ran everybody down, too. But there was some stank in it. There was some attitude. Yeah.
He ended with that smile.
He was like, eater of worlds. Get the idea. Anyways, next up we had Sheamus versus Roman Reigns.
Fun match.
Yeah, again, Roman Reigns being booked to kick out of everybody's finisher. He did that here. I think he kicked out of like a bro kick or
something.
No,
he didn't kick out of a bro kick. He avoided a bro kick with a Superman punch. He kicked out of White Noise.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't think he ever hit a bro kick.
Okay. Well, in any event, he kicked out of a lot of things.
Yeah, but Sheamus went up to the top rope for some reason.
I didn't like this, man. If Sheamus is dealing with freaking neck issues and head issues and stuff.
Bumps. I know.
This was a really physical match.
It was, and that's all I can think of now watching Sheamus wrestle is that I know he's hurt.
Why didn't he fight Cesaro?
I don't know.
Man, I don't want to see that.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the prognosis is
really
for Sheamus.
Like, I know,
if he rehabs his neck, if it can get better, or if it's just trying to, you know, push off the inevitable when he has to retire because of his spinal stenosis.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, if there's degrees of that condition. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I mean, but you hear that Stone Cold and Edge had to retire because of it, and then Sting, and that's what he's afflicted with, too.
I don't like when you're jumping off the top rope and eating a spear.
I know.
Because that looks really bad for you. I know. Anyway.
But that's how Roman won.
Yeah, that's how he won.
It was a fun finish, though. It was a good finish.
No, it was cool. It was great. Next up.
Main event.
The main event. The Fatal 5-Way. For the second chance at the Elimination Chamber.
Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy versus Apollo Crews versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. Tons of fun.
Finn Balor got the final entrance, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
He got the last one. Everybody loves that.
Really fun match. A lot of really good spots. There was a fun bit where Bray does his thing where he leans over in the corner and Matt Hardy just starts clapping and laughing at him saying, "Wonderful!" That was great.
And the crowd was really getting into it, too. That was great.
And it seemed to fluster Bray. Yeah. There's a spot where Finn breaks up a pin, I believe, with coup de grace, and then Seth curb stomps him.
Yeah, that was good. And then that was a really cool
Matt
sequence.
Hardy breaks up the pinfall.
It was Apollo Crews broke
Apollo
it up.
Apollo Crews, yeah, that's right.
By speaking of Apollo Crews, I was actively rooting for him at the end.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was like, you know what? Because I didn't figure they'd do like a double pin thing. I'm glad that they did. I'm happy Seth and Finn are both in there because they're both big names and they should be in there. However, if you can only choose one guy, I would have rather kicked them out. That performance by Apollo Crews, especially over the past couple weeks, we've noted this.
Work the last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks now.
I was so bummed out that two of those moonsaults couldn't pin a guy.
I know.
That really bummed me out. I was like,
the standing ones?
The standing moonsaults.
Yeah.
I was like, because that was his finisher at one point.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. What is he doing now for his finish?
The powerbomb thing.
Okay, yeah. I was bummed out that two of those couldn't pin, I think it was Seth, who he was fighting against. Because by the end of that, I was like, oh, my God, I really want this to happen. But then they did a really creative finish where both Seth and Finn ended up pinning Bray after a double-team powerbomb.
Yeah.
And so then they were – it was great. It was totally an old Nitro finish.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They're
I know.
Arguing the ref. Who's going in the chamber? Find out next. Robin Hood's next. Yeah.
But instead, Kurt said on, I don't know, some Facebook
somebody's
thing,
on Facebook, yeah.
Where he said, no, they'll both be in Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. So that's good.
I agree with you about Apollo Crews. It'd be cool if he would win.
I was rooting for him at the end. I mean, the thing is, it would have been a telegraphed, like, okay, well, we know you're not going to win, and you're probably going to be, like, the first eliminated. But they could have also done something really cool where, like, it could have ended up with Roman and Apollo, the least likely guy. You're making something really big out of Apollo. Nobody else looks bad.
I know.
But it's Elimination Chamber. You need Finn and Seth in there.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I really hope he pulls this off.
Me too.
So anyways.
Fun show. A lot of fun.
Yes.
Should we answer some questions now?
I think we should answer some questions.
Unretired Dwayne Nix. Since it's a foregone conclusion that Roman Reigns will be Universal Champion after WrestleMania, if the rumors of Brock Lesnar possibly leaving the WWE for UFC again become true, who would you guys like to see Reigns get in a post-Mania program with first, Bobby Lashley or Finn Balor?
Oh, man. Well, here's the thing. Whoever he gets into a program with at first
is not going to win.
Is not going to win the title. So, I don't know.
I think a good first program for Reigns would be The Miz.
There you go. That's good.
The Miz drops the IC title at Mania, gets into a program with Reigns for the Universal title.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. I like that.
Groundwork's already there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody else just to add to it. Apollo Crews, after getting a monster push.
That'd be great.
Starts beating everybody.
That'd be fantastic. The Down Undertaker, Zach Parks. Power rank top 5 instruments. Is this going to work?
Probably not.
All right. We want to see Braun play and accidentally break.
It'll be
next.
Really small. It'll be like small. We can't even see. It's all in there. The corner. Yeah.
I was kind of hoping if he comes out with more instruments, I want a full one-man band type thing with the bass drum.
Oh, yeah, cymbals, yeah.
You know, maybe a guitar.
The harmonica thing right
there.
Yeah,
all of it. Yeah. One-man band.
Oh, that'd be good. That's all of them then.
Yeah, or a tuba.
Or a tuba. Interesting.
Brass instrument.
Mm-hmm. I want him to borrow Dolph's like drum.
Yeah.
Big bass.
Bass drum. Yeah.
Bass drum. Yeah. I want to do that.
That's just part of the one man band thing though. Because you'd have that on his back.
Well, yeah, that's on the back though.
Yeah.
That's not just the same.
I know, but
thing.
You'd have that plus a bunch of other stuff.
No, look, band. That's my number one, too. Good. I'm just offering other things.
All right. Well,
if we had to break it down per instrument.
All right, we need two more for a full power ranking.
Spoon Man.
Spoons?
Spoons. What do you mean spoons?
Not terribly, like visually, like a guitar or a double.
Are
bass.
You kidding me? You like don't want to hear. You don't want to see him do.
No. This is him playing it, but then using it as a weapon.
Braun Man, Strowman.
There you go. That's good and all. But
come together.
He needs to use it as a weapon too.
Come together. Get these hands. Fight me. That's might be my number one now. Be honest,
you think
with the spoons.
He can carry a full grand piano in on his back.
Well, yeah, he's Braun Strowman.
All right, or grand piano.
If nothing else, he can drag it with his grappling hook.
Four.
Yeah.
With something else. What about didgeridoo?
Is that the thing that goes bong? What does it look like?
It's like a long.
Oh, never mind.
Stick.
What's the little thing that has like a little wire thing that goes bong, down, down?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called.
I want one of those things. Anyway, spoons is number one answer.
All right, fine.
Remember that dude at AR who had the spoons? Spoon Man?
Uh-huh.
I wonder if he's still around.
He's in the stadium.
Yeah.
You hear him singing.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea. A couple of people suggest a theremin.
Oh.
Next question, Steve.
James Rodriguez. Between Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle, wow, this got upvoted a lot. I had to explain upvoting to people, and then some of these are just getting upvoted like crazy.
Yeah, I know. That last one had 19 upvotes.
Whoa. James Rodriguez with 7 upvotes. Between Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle, who would you say is worst at promos today? And why do you think that is the case? It is Shane McMahon.
Yeah, Kurt wasn't very good last night, though.
No, but here's the thing. I don't care if Shane McMahon drops a CM Punk pipe bomb. I cannot get into it because it always sounds like he's so congested. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
Man.
Kyle Robinson, Power Rank board games for Seth and Finn to play while sharing the pod.
Oh, I really, that visual would be so amazing if they're just in there. Well, all honestly, they just need a pack of cards. Just get a pack of cards.
Yeah, play Hearts.
Good.
Yeah. Connect Four.
Yeah.
That's a game you can get in real quick, like.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know how much time you're going to have in there, so you can get a game in a couple minutes.
Who do you think would win? It's got to be Seth, right?
He's the architect.
He's the architect.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Well, come on. That's for little kids, man.
But Finn, instead of doing scissors, would do this.
Guns win every time. Hell. Here, let's do it real quick. It turns into a Reservoir Dog situation.
Oh, man.
That's good.
Finn does this.
Oh, that's good.
Zach Fuller, since we saw the debut of Singing Braun tonight, power ranked the best singers in WWE today that we know of. Braun's pretty good.
Yeah, evidently, yeah, Braun, my goodness.
Who else have we seen
sing? Wasn't the club okay when they were doing...
Oh, they're all right.
I think they're okay.
Let's speculate. Who do you think could be a good singer?
Who I think is a good singer?
Have we heard Xavier Wood sing?
I mean, he sings the WW. I don't know. I don't know if I've heard him sing before. I just had one on deck. Who was it? I guarantee you John Cena's probably... him and The Miz have had all that Hollywood training. So they're probably both... They can probably both carry a song of some sort.
Tune.
I mean, as much as like The Rock could.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But The Rock has a fairly melodic voice. Just speaking voice, especially when he does promos.
There's oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Melodic quality.
Well, we know John Cena can rap. We know that much.
True.
So
that's true. Cody Miles, last night I truly realized that WWE are making stars again with Elias and Braun. That segment was very reminiscent of Rock and Austin, but it got me thinking, what would happen if they didn't split Braun from the Wyatts? Would Wyatt be a true main event monster? If so, which would you prefer? Bray is this generation's spoopy?
I don't know what that means.
Character or Braun now?
Braun the way he is right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they did him absolutely perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Nason sort of...
someone says Chris Jericho. He's a singer. He sings in a band.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's in New Japan now. Richard Nason says, who sounds worse on the mic? And I've already answered this.
Hold on, Alex C. Mickey James is a legit recording artist. And we forgot about Aiden English.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Aiden, he's the artist. Richard Nason, we already talked about this, but he put this pretty funny. He says, who sounds worse on the mic? Shane with his constant sounds of nasal congestion, jeez. Or Kurt Angle when he takes 30 seconds to rehearse his promo during a commercial and screws up constantly. Man, so true.
Eric, base hit King Blaha, who's having the harder time being part of the company, Paige or Daniel Bryan?
Oh, Paige. If what we've heard about that is true,
then Paige for sure. At least Daniel Bryan at this point has had time to kind of come to grips with it. And he also knows there's a light at the end of the tunnel come September. His contract's up.
Yeah.
Whereas Paige still is under contract till 2019.
And with Daniel Bryan, there's been like doctors who have said, mm-hmm. hey, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. And he has to bide his time at this point.
Concussions was like sort of a cloudier issue than having a busted neck.
Yeah.
And she's only 25. Daniel Bryan's like, what, mid-30s?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got to be Paige.
Man, that's horrible. That's so bad. That's so horrible. And then kind of knowing that everybody knows, you mm-hmm. know, that's awful.
Bri2J, is WWE not getting enough credit for fan service? We finally have Woken Matt Hardy. Balor has formed Balor Club. Cena isn't being pushed down her throat as much. They're finally booking Reigns better, and they're getting serious pushes or giving serious pushes to new stars like Braun and Elias. I feel like we heard all this a year ago. We would be pretty delighted. Thanks for all the works, friendos.
I think we give them credit all the time these days. Like they get, you know, I think I mentioned this before with the AJ Finn match. I said, you know, they're like, I have no idea if this is the case. I don't know, but it did kind of feel like that was a bit of a turning point for a couple things. In terms of giving us a bit more of what we wanted, and maybe it was in the plans the entire time. I'm not saying at all that, hey, they're listening to us or listening to fans or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does feel like there's kind of this, man, we have all this stuff. Why don't we use it? You know, and it might be coincidental, like Matt Hardy had to get those trademarks cleared. I mean, I don't know what the deal with Finn and Balor Club was. I think that had something to do with the Too Sweet with AJ.
Yeah, it could be.
Shinsuke winning the Rumble was big.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it does feel like they sort of woke up and were like, man, we've got all these great pieces. Why aren't we using them? Like,
Or I also wonder, too, if they realize that Vince can have his huge part-time matches or matches with part-timers involved.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't preclude the company from also giving the fans what they want to see.
The hardcore fans. They have to realize.
Vince can have his way, and then Triple H can have his way.
If you have 1.5 million network subscribers... And like that's who you are. That's mm-hmm. who you are, you know. But it might also be a sign of, and we've heard this as well. Triple H is sort of continually amassing a bit more, you know, stroke power, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it, creative freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vince doing the XFL thing. It would not surprise me if a lot of this was Triple H stuff. But you know, you never know.
Braun's grappling hook. If Stephanie becoming the next Mr. McMahon rumor is true, who would be Stephanie's stooges like Briscoe and Patterson were for Vince?
Okay. Mr. McMahon.
I mean, I don't want Patterson and Briscoe were kind of bumbling.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that to be the case, but imagine if Stephanie brought Absolution.
Yeah.
With
okay.
her. Again, not bumbling. Make them legit.
Yeah.
Make them some legit kind of muscle for you.
I like bumbling, so give me Jamie Noble. Give me Jamie Noble and Fit Finley. That would be awesome. That would be great.
I was just thinking Absolution would be great because it would give Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville some spotlight in a top of the card.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. Line. Don't get me wrong. That'd be neat. I'd be into it.
It just can't be bumbling.
Yeah, no. But if you did decide to go, give me Fit. I would love to see Fit Finley interact as a character
right.
with Jamie Noble. All I think right. it's like a weird pairing.
But then we saw Jamie Noble as J&J Security.
I know. I really liked it. They just used him too much to get Seth over.
Yeah.
Bugged the crap out of me. But I thought he was great as a character.
Taylor Sexton. Hey, friendos. Power rank. Wrestlers at the top and bottom of Gallows and Anderson Nerdometer. I mean, who's good brother for life? That'd be the bottom.
Well, yeah, Finn, obviously.
AJ.
Yeah, Finn and AJ, for sure. I would say I don't think there'd be any way they can call Shinsuke a nerd.
No.
You know, he went through war with them or against them
mm-hmm.
back in New Japan. So I would say Shinsuke's probably on the bottom. I mean, on the top, you know, I mean, as much as I love Titus Worldwide, they're kind of nerdy. Apollo Crews kind of strikes me as a bit of a nerd. Titus kind of strikes me as he's like a dad nerd, you know, full of dad jokes. And then Dana Brooke is literally a statistician. It doesn't get nerdier than that. So I'm going to say Titus Worldwide is pretty high in the nerdometer scale. Right. Those guys.
I'm trying to recall who they have, in fact, called nerds.
Well, last night, the Revival, of course, because they're history nerds.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Bray Wyatt's probably a nerd. He's got all that supernatural crap that, nerds like.
Yeah.
D&D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt's a nerd.
Yeah.
Elias is a band nerd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, that's good.
All right.
It's all good stuff.
All right.
But then the club also did a couple musical numbers with Elias.
So yeah.
Maybe he is closer to Good Brother for life.
He just likes saying Good Brother.
I do.
Let's see here. Oh, man, what a great question. Taylor Sexton. Giant Gonzalez, Andre the Giant, The Big Show, Will, Braun Strowman, and Kevin Nash decide to start a band. What is it called? And who plays
earlier,
what?
I think, or someone said it earlier in chat, get these bands.
All right. That wasn't me. That was somebody else.
Yeah, it was somebody else. That's get good. These bands. Get I think someone bands. Said it in chat.
I like it. That's good.
Not my idea, but I don't remember who said it, so I can't source it properly. My apologies. But that's a great idea. Oh, I saw it earlier. I can't find it right now. Someone asked, where would we be on the club's nerdometers?
We have a pro wrestling podcast, and I want to be
Max Nerd.
And I want to be a comic book artist.
Max Nerd over
here.
Oh,
and I'm starting a Star Trek podcast.
Oh, my gosh. You break the meter.
at least you're a baseball nerd. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. No, not really.
I'm a nerd of all the nerdiest things. Like, the only line I've ever drawn in terms of being a nerd has been with role-playing games like D&D.
Yeah.
Have no idea how those works. But I don't know if I'm smart enough to know how those things work.
Yeah, I am. I'm same.
20-sided dice.
Steve Klein.
What about Steve Klein?
Yes, where do we gauge ourselves on Nerdometer?
Okay.
I want to make sure I found the question. The Tapped House, second-time patron, first-time question asker. This is intense. Steven Larson, Book Raw, has succumbed to cosmic horror. Who's booked to drive the boat into Cthulhu's head? Who's booked to play the flute to keep Azathoth, the blind idiot god, dancing? Who's going to take care of the cats? Who's the outsider?
Who's got the best that? Dream?
Who's writing the letter telling us they're all dead? The Tapped House.
The Tapped House I don't is know any high as shit.
I don't know what any of that means.
Hold on, let me read it here. Come to cosmic horror. Who's booked to drive the boat into Cthulhu's head? Who's booked to play the flute to keep Azathoth, the blind idiot god, dancing? Who's going to take care of the cats? Who's the outsider? Who's got the best dreams? Who's writing the letter telling us they're all dead? Well, I think I write better letters than you, so I'm going to do that one. I'll write an email saying that we're all dead.
Who's got the best dreams? I have some pretty wild dreams.
You got some good dreams going. Yeah, what was that one? The cat with the Fu Manchu?
Yeah.
You had a stepdad that was a cat.
That night turned to a cat with the blonde Fu Manchu, yeah.
That's my favorite dream ever.
You're going to take care of the cats because I'm not a huge fan of cats.
I don't like cats.
Oh.
Well, I like cats. Are okay. I'm an animal guy.
Who's the outsider? That one's easy. It's Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Who's
going to take on Azathoth? He's a blind idiot. Well, I have better sight than you, so I feel like that's an advantage.
We book Raw, so it could be wrestlers, too.
Oh, I thought it was just you and me.
So who's booked to play the flute?
I don't know. Who's got a good set of lungs on them?
Well, Xavier Woods plays a trombone.
There you go. Perfect.
It's not a woodwind, but it's a
wind instrument.
Yes. And who's booked to drive the boat into Cthulhu's head?
Kairi Sane.
Yeah. There you go.
Another first-time question asker.
That was really confusing.
From, interestingly enough, Larson's Black Cat stepfather, the blonde Fu Manchu.
Great name.
Do you think we will get a WWE draft after Mania? He says
there's been rumors of such. Yes, we're talking about that more in Dirt Sheet as more information hopefully comes to light.
And he says he would love to see Seth Rollins go to SmackDown. Stay tuned also for Countout this weekend.
That might be the subject of it. We'll see.
Maybe. Tommy T. Hey, friendos, my question is a genuine one. Is Kurt Angle a WWE guy or a TNA guy? Because while he started in the WWE, Of course, he spent his prime years in TNA.
Yeah, he was in TNA longer than he was in WWE.
That's true. I do think, though, that because he had such a storied start in the WWE, I personally consider him a WWE
guy. Considering I never watched TNA, in my mind, he'll always be in WWE and only in WWE. Mm-hmm, there's just that 10 years where, I don't know, he just took a 10-year vacation and came back.
How long was Sting in TNA?
I don't know exactly.
Probably like 6 years, something
like
that.
6 or 7 years, yeah. Maybe.
So it's not even a comparison with WCW.
No, he's a WCW guy. He's franchise.
Life. I think he's a WWE guy.
Yeah, I agree. He made the larger impact in the wrestling world while under WWE's employ. Therefore, he's a WWE guy.
I
think Steve Austin was employed by WCW longer than he was with WWE. There's no doubt he's a WWE guy. Because he started out with WCW in the early 90s. It was cut, 95?
Yeah.
Early 96?
That might be a wash, but I mean...
Yeah, it might be a wash, actually, now that I think about it.
I mean, he got to WWE in 96.
Mm-hmm. Hung him up in 2003.
And hung him up in 2003.
So
yeah,
7 years.
More of a WWE,
yeah. I guess so.
But I see your point. Cool. You want to do pay-per-view?
Yeah. You got any ideas for shows?
Not a one.
Starcade last time, didn't we?
Not a one. I started to watch Starrcade 1987 the other day. It's pretty fascinating. It was the first NWA pay-per-view that ever was on pay-per-view. Yeah. And they did those closed circuit locations.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be interesting to go to one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Big projection.
Like in a movie theater?
I guess, yeah.
Any guys suggestions for shows in chat here?
Backlash. Isn't Backlash rumored to be like a dual?
That's me then. Okay, we'll do that. Backlash.
Backlash. I'm going to do Backlash 2013 to see what pops up.
We'll go to Backlash 1999.
Was there a Backlash?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah, man. With, 12 matches.
Hold on, history. I'm going to go
There's four dark matches, so seven matches on the main card.
Seven matches? Hold on.
I can go up to 12.
Go back. Let's see here. You said you can go up to 12?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. This is a ridiculously easy one. I'm going to go to... What are you doing?
Backlash 99.
All right. Well, screw it. I'm just going to go with 2004. And I can go up to 9 matches.
All right.
You good with that?
Yeah.
How do you have 12 matches on a
Sunday Night Heat, man.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Hold on.
Well, what is pay-per-view, first of all? We pick two pay-per-views and then see if the other person can figure out who won and who lost each match.
Yeah. I'll go first.
Okay.
Test versus Viscera in a singles match.
Test versus Viscera in a singles match?
Yeah.
Test won.
Wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
King Mabel?
Yeah.
Went over?
Correct.
All right. Well, how about this? In a singles match, Matt Hardy, yes, versus Val Venus.
I'd say Matt Hardy.
You're wrong.
Wow.
Hello.
In a 6-man tag match, we had The Brood versus Ministry of Darkness.
Ooh. What year is this? 99?
Yeah.
May I ask who was in the Ministry of Darkness?
This match, it was Bradshaw, Farouk, and Midian.
Well, they're the C players, so The Brood won.
Wrong.
Ah! Dang it. Woo! Ric Flair versus Shelton Benjamin.
Ric Flair.
Wrong. Shelton Benjamin.
Al Snow versus Hardcore Holly in a match for the Hardcore Championship.
Oh, crap. I'll go Hardcore Holly.
No.
Man, what is going on today?
Yeah, we're not doing well today, are we?
In a singles match, Jonathan Coachman with Garrison Cade by his side versus Tajiri.
I'll say Coachman.
Very good. You are on the board.
I'm on the board. Singles match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Gold Dust with the Blue Meanie versus The Godfather.
Who came in as champion?
The Godfather.
Godfather left as champion.
Correct.
in a handicap match, Chris John and Trish Stratus versus Y2J, the alpha Chris Jericho.
I'll go with Jericho.
Very good.
In a tag team match, determined number one contenders for the tag team championships, we had Double J, Jeff Jarrett,
okay,
and Owen Hart,
okay,
against, oh, you didn't know, the New Age Outlaws.
I'm going to say Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart.
No.
Whoa. What was this for again?
Number one contenders for tag team titles.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Do you have one?
I have one.
Wow.
Next up, in a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship, the champion, Victoria, defended against Lita, the challenger.
It's 2004?
Yeah.
Victoria.
Very good.
Next, in a boiler room brawl, well, the Big Show versus Mankind.
Mankind.
Yeah. It's his match.
It's his match. He has to win it. In a hardcore match.
All right.
For the WWE Intercontinental Championship.
All right.
The champion, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Defended against Cactus Jack.
Oh, Orton.
Orton.
Next, singles match.
X-Pac
versus the game Triple H with China.
Just a singles match?
Yeah.
Triple H won. A fool's not losing it. Next up, in a tag team action match, the Hurricane and Rosie versus La Resistance, Rob Conway and Sylvain Grenier.
Hurricane and Rosie.
Very good.
Singles match, The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Versus Ken Shamrock.
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Singles match, Kane versus Edge.
Edge.
Yeah, he was being pushed to the moon back then. Yeah, I think. Man.
Main event, no holds barred match for WWF title. The champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin,
what?
Versus The Rock.
Backlash 1999. Oh, man. Who came in as champion?
Stone Cold.
He left as champion.
Correct.
Nice. So here's your last one. Right now we're... Oh, right now you're up by one.
Yeah.
Crap. Okay. So you won. A triple threat match.
All right.
For the World Heavyweight Championship.
All right.
The champion, Chris Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And Triple H, who came out as World Heavyweight Champion.
Triple H.
Chris Benoit.
Damn.
Never bet against Triple H, though.
Yeah.
Shouldn't do that. Anyways. Wow, what a thrilling pay-per-view. You won by 1 point.
1 point. Well, thrilling done. To the very end.
Thrilling. Very thrilling. Anyways. That's it for the show. Patrons, keep watching because we're going to still do some fun stuff.
Yeah, we'll hang out for a bit.
We'll hang out for a bit. Gypsy, can I get some music, please? There we go.
Definitely nice. Playing, I can hear
Definitely
it.
Definitely playing. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.